Amen.
Learn more about prayer and the Believer's Life of Faith at intouch.org. If you'd like to hear today's message again, you can find it in the radio section of our website, plus an entire library of messages in our audio archives. You can also download a podcast and take In Touch along with you. Our web address again is intouch.org. When our series on prayer continues tomorrow, we'll hear about Jesus' pattern for prayer from the 6th chapter of Matthew. I hope you'll join us Wednesday for In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship, right here in Cocoa, Florida. And you are listening to the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour together talking about God's Word, about the things that we don't want leading us. We do not want to be without vision and trying to lead other people to a place that we refuse to go. We're going to be talking about that today in Matthew chapter 23. And we have begun a sermon series at Merritt Assembly of God, This Day Could Change Everything. And so I preached on that on Sunday. Going to be preaching that for two more weeks leading up to Resurrection Sunday. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing on Resurrection Sunday. We are not going to be having Sunday school. We're going to be having a fellowship breakfast instead, and would love to have you come and be a part of that. About 10:30, we're going to begin our worship service. We're going to allow you to, you know, have a great time in God's Word. I just had a Facebook blast that showed up from the past here recently, and it said that we had three people that gave their heart to Jesus last year on Resurrection Sunday, and that is absolutely wonderful. And we're looking forward to what God is going to do this year, praying for even greater things to come. So if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you be a part of what God is doing. Been really excited. God's been revealing some things to me from the Word of God, and people have it's been striking its mark. You know, the Word of God says it will not return to him void. It will not miss the mark. And people have been saying, you know, thank God for the Word, because it, and listen, what I preach on Sunday mornings, it's different than what I share here on the radio. It's not just a duplication of you know, the same message. So, you know, if you appreciate what you hear on the radio, but you'd like to hear more, you can always come to Merritt Assembly of God Sunday mornings, and we would love to have you be a part of that. We've got some exciting things that are going on, and we're really, really stoked about what God is going to be doing in the days ahead. If you have turned in your scriptures, turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. We're talking about the woes. Somebody actually counted all of the different woes for scribes and Pharisees and came up with a number of 8. But verse number 16 says, "Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it." And also in verse number 24, he says, "Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." So that's where we're going. These are people who have their vision is not a vision of what God has. They refuse to comply with God's vision for society, for them as individuals. The Bible says those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And that's, I believe, in the NIV translation. I don't want to forfeit. I don't want to neglect. I don't want to fail to receive and apply anything that God has my name on it. I want everything God has for me. So let's look at verse number 13 today. We'll read verses 13 and 14. We may get through both of those sections today. It says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation." And so you will see all of these various sections where hypocrisy is at the very core of all of these woes that Jesus is laying at the account of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, you have to realize that Jesus' heart was for them to know him in all of his fullness and for them to be a participant of the kingdom of God. But they were refusing. They were refusing. So when he exclaims these lamentable conditions that are going on, you have to realize that he is still doing that from a heart of compassion. He's now gone from just the presentation of the word to saying, okay, look, you and I, we're not on the same page. The difference between vision and division is one is there's one singular vision, and division happens when there are different divisions, multiple visions that are going on, and one refuses to embrace the other and abandon their own. Many people want to ask God to abandon his vision for society, to embrace their version for society or their version for their life. And I've got news for you. Jesus is never going to abdicate the throne. He's never going to surrender his authority because his plan is the best plan for your life and for my life. A lot of people try and embrace other things, but it only leaves them more miserable. So you've got to realize this hypocrisy where Pharisees say one thing and either do or don't do what they say. They had positioned themselves as the ultimate voice of spiritual authority, and yet they were rejecting the king who was being talked about in the Word of God. Let's look at verse number 13 again. "For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." The first thing that we need to realize is that Jesus came to open the kingdom of heaven. He wants all to come to the Father, and the only way to do that is through him. And if I, as an individual, refuse to embrace what God is doing, if I refuse to accept the tremendous gift of the kingdom of God overpowering the kingdom of darkness in my life, then I am doing that to my own regret, to my own loss. And what happens then are these Pharisees, they refuse to go in. It is not just an accident. It is something that is very intentional. They insist on staying on the outside. It kind of reminds me of the older son or older brother of the prodigal who went away. The older brother comes after a day in the fields, finds out about all the celebration that's going on and the reason for it, and he says, "I ain't going in there. I ain't going in there." And the father comes out to him and says, look, it was right for us to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. You can either stay out here and pout or you can come in and join the celebration. What's it going to be? You know, I really do strive to understand people. Now, you have to understand that I do not come from a background of being addicted to alcohol or addicted to drugs or addicted to immorality or any of that sort of stuff. I have my own sins, my own battles that God has delivered me from and is delivering me from. But many of the things that has a death grip on society did not have a death grip on me. And so because I minister to a lot of different people I'll minister to anybody from any demographic. It does not matter to me. I'm just going to preach the word. But there are people who reject and refuse the wisdom of God's word. They refuse the repentance. They don't want to change. And then they want to lash out at God when their life is not improving. I want you to know that if you refuse to go into the kingdom of God, if you refuse Jesus' offer of repentance so that the kingdom of God can manifest as a reality in your life, the kingdom of darkness is still going to rule in your life and is an oppressive kingdom. Jesus comes and offers us kingdom relief, but to reject that relief means that we choose intentionally to stay under the oppression of the enemy. And it's not right. It's unacceptable to try and blame God for our bad choices. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He has done everything that needs to be done in order for you and I to experience the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. We've just got to choose to repent and say, I want to be a part of that kingdom. Now, you've got to realize that for a Pharisee or one of these scribes, one of these religious leaders, to humble themselves to the point of repentance was a huge, huge thing. Everybody in society was looking to these people. People didn't get to go home and read their Bible. It wasn't like everybody had an Old Testament, you know, lying around on the coffee table. They didn't have coffee tables. I'm just using that as an example. So they were beholden. They were indebted to the religious leadership to teach them ways of God. It was to a great extent an illiterate society, even though there were people who were literate in that society. I mean, there were people who knew. I mean, thus you have scribes. They were very meticulous in the way that they wrote things down. Jesus said they were hypocrites because they shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. They shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. In other words, they could have been embracing the platform that God had given them and saying, you know what? Jesus does line up with the things that are talked about in the scripture. I know that he did, because on the road to Emmaus in the last chapter of Luke, he is walking with these two men and he begins to open up the scriptures to them, open up their understanding. And he starts and he just works his way through the Old Testament, showing the realities, the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. I will tell you this, the prophecies that were verified about his first coming are all the evidence that we need to realize that the prophecies about his second coming are just as faithful. Instead of embracing and saying, okay, I want to facilitate these people coming and embracing faith in Christ, these people were more concerned about their loss of authority. They were afraid of losing their loss of prestige, people looking up to them. And as a result of that, They pretended to be expounding, you know, the Word of God in an accurate manner to the people. And actuality, what they were doing was they were in the kingdom prevention business. They were preventing other people from going in. Listen, if I refuse to go in, I have now become an obstacle. If I'm standing at the door and I refuse to go in, I have become an obstacle to other people trying to get in as well. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, it was a very interesting time. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. That first Sunday that I was there was the first time we had ever met. And it was a very interesting thing. I was at the front of the church, and there were, you know, 9 other people out there, including my family. And by the time I said amen at the front of the service, by the time I got to the back, they were gone. Bam. Gone. And we realized that wasn't the atmosphere that we were wanting to cultivate at Merit Assembly of God. And so we began to build relationship with people. And what happened was it got to the point where people like one another, and they wanted to stand and talk one another, and everybody wanted to stand and talk in the same area. So what it was doing, it was becoming a bottleneck where there were people who had to get out that couldn't get out because everybody liked each other so much that they just wanted to stand and talk. And so we've relayed out the entryway there, and now there are a number of places where people can stand and talk, and people can still come and go at the same time. I don't want to be an obstacle. I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. One of the reasons that I conduct my life the way that I do is I don't want to be the excuse that some people use as to why they're not a believer. So, dads, moms, bosses, if you want a kingdom culture in your workplace or in your home, what you need to do, what I need to do, is to make sure that I get there myself. I want to lead the way. Remember, these people, blind guides. There were people who were following them, but these people had no vision, or they rejected God's vision, and they were becoming a hindrance. They were becoming a stumbling block, and people were being prevented from the destiny that God had for them. So the first thing is we need to make sure that we are repentant, that we're experiencing the kingdom of God. Second, we need to make sure that any opportunity that we have to speak truth into someone's life, that we take that we're able to back it up with Scripture. Okay? There are a lot of people who teach a lot of interesting, I'm going to use interesting in quotation marks, interesting things, but they can't necessarily back everything up with the Word of God. I don't want to be guilty of that. Now, there are some things that I share from time to time that I say, this is my personal opinion. And I'll tell you one of those. The Scripture says that when Jesus was, when he was crucified, that the veil in the temple was torn, and it was torn from top to bottom. And I absolutely believe that. I just also happen to believe that it was torn from the inside out, and that's because I believe that God was saying, look, I'm the one, I'm coming out so that everybody else can have access. Now, but I tell people, if you don't believe that, you're not going to hurt my feelings. That's a personal thing for me. I don't have any way to prove it. I don't have any special accolades I'm going to get from that philosophy. It's just I believe that the heart of God was saying, I want humanity to enter in to the kingdom of heaven. So if you get time, do a study on the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and you'll find it is a very interesting way to spend your time. Verse number 14, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now listen, if he calls me a hypocrite once, and then he calls me a hypocrite twice, and then he calls me a hypocrite third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth time, guess what? I think he's saying at that point in time that it is not up for debate, it's not up for discussion, it's an established fact. And so, at that point in time, I have to say, the cure for this affliction that I've got going on in my life. A wise person would say that. A wise person would say, okay, if the doctor is telling me this is a reality in my life, what's the cure? What's the cure? Jesus just doesn't go around calling people names just for the sake of calling them names. He goes and he tells them the reality of their circumstances so that there can be a change in their behavior. Many of the priests eventually become followers of Jesus Christ. Paul was a Pharisee who studied under Gamaliel and became a great servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a cure for this hypocrisy. Just because you've been something up until now doesn't mean that God cannot change us and make us into a better representation, a better servant than what we've been before. He says, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation. The Bible talks about that teachers of the word are held to a level of accountability with God. And when people read things like that, many of them say, well, I don't want to teach anybody anything then. I just want to make sure that I get to heaven. You miss out on the greatest learning opportunities of your life when you say no to allowing God to use you as a teacher and a guide to someone spiritually. If I did not have my preaching and teaching responsibilities, I would not have learned much of the things that I know at this point in time. Here, a little over a week ago, I preached a message, and there were a number of people who were powerfully impacted by that message. Someone was, well, I'll tell you, my wife was telling me about how powerfully the message impacted her. And she had told other people about how powerfully the message had impacted her, and that she had read that passage a number of times, and she had never seen one of the truths that I brought out in that time. And I told her, I said, well, I got a confession, and that is, until I was preparing for the message, God had never revealed that passage of scripture to me. I'm only a few days ahead of you in that particular journey. We're all on this journey that we want to grow. So do not allow this revelation from God's word that to whom much is given, much is required. Don't let that hinder you from serving, because serving is going to lead to growing. Growing is going to open doors of influence. The Pharisees here, it says, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Now, you got to realize that women in this day and time, they did not have any civil rights. They didn't have the same legal standing. Thank God that God has changed all of that. You and I, because of the work of Christ Jesus, we have standing in heaven. If there is an appeal that is filed in a court case, one of the things that I've noticed is over the past several years is that courts will come in and they will deny hearing an appeal because the person making the appeal does not have legal standing. in biblical times, in Old Testament times, Moses times, there were daughters of one by the name of Zelophehad. And Zelophehad had only daughters. And because of that, they were in jeopardy of losing their father's portion, his inheritance among his tribe. And the ladies come marching in and say, hey, you know, we believe that God would not be pleased if our father's name was wiped off of the map and his inheritance just vacuumed up in the tribe itself. And Moses takes it to God and says, what they're saying is right. And so I want you to know that the church is not here to look for a way to bleed people dry financially. Somebody was asking for a CD and they said, well, I can pay for it. And I said, look, I'm not concerned about the finances. I believe in investing in God's people. Here's the thing. The message of God was free to me when God gave it to me. And therefore I can give it to other people and hopefully it'll be as much of a blessing to them as it was in my life, in my heart. So are there people who take advantage of others financially? Yes. Does that mean that God is endorsing it? No. And is God going to address it? Is God going to take care of it? Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you know somebody and it's all about the finances, you might want to say, I need to be careful of where these people are leading me because of what Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. He goes on and he says, and for a pretense make long prayers. A lot of people are impressed by a lot of different things. There are some people who are impressed with the intellectual capacity and the eloquence with which one uses vocabulary and the way that they can craft an outline and all of that sort of stuff. I want you to know that that I'm not here to perform. I'm here to share the truth of God's word. And Jesus was telling the Pharisees and the scribes, what people want you to be is real. They want you to be genuine. They don't want you trying to perform so that everybody claps their hands and says what a marvelous, marvelous performer you were. This is kingdom business. And it is no place for hypocrisy. And if there is hypocrisy, get it out of your life. Get it out of your life. And so that's where we're going to end today because we don't want condemnation. I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is the week of the blessing right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. The phone number here at the radio station is 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000. If you try calling to make a faith promise to support the radio station over the next 6 months, if you call, you might get a busy signal. You might get asked to leave a message. Paul will call you back, tell him you heard about it on the Refresh radio program, and he would love to hear from you. We would love to be a blessing to this radio station that's a blessing to the body of Christ throughout Brevard County. God bless you. You have a marvelous day. We'll see you right back here tomorrow on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and